The national anthem, ladies and gentlemen. And what a fitting prelude to the call for the 97th run for the Roses. In less than 2 minutes, we'll be out here again to bring you the whole pageantry and the big event of the year, the Kentucky Derby, 1971 style. Milton Metz at the press box with all my associates, shortly to be joined by Kaywood Ledford to call the race. Milton Metz at the press box at the WHAS Derby.
For the surefire winner in a sporty new Ford, see Summers Herman, Louisville's number one super saver. Mustangs, Torinos, Fairlanes, LTDs, pickups and trucks too. Every new Ford at Summers Herman is priced low, 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 so that you save super sums. And because they sell more new cars, Summers Herman is the best place to buy a used car, too. You have more models and styles to choose from, and they're all priced to keep them moving. Whether you want a car or truck, new or used, go to Summers Herman Ford. Super savings, super service. Two good reasons Summers Herman still sells more new and used cars and trucks than any other dealer in Kentuckiana. And they've been doing it for more than 50 years. So before you buy, see the number one super saver, Summers Herman, downtown 3rd and Breckenridge. You'll save super sums.
Now, live from Churchill Downs, all the excitement and thrills of America's greatest turf classic, the 97th running of the Kentucky Derby. Brought to you by the Fall City Brewing Company, Louisville. Brewers of Fall City beer. The one that gives you more. Fall City. The beer that's pasteurized to keep the flavor fresh. Beer after beer after beer. And now, here is Kaywood Ledford.
Thank you, Milt. And, of course, this is one of the largest fields in Kentucky Derby history. Some of them are going by right now. I see the familiar Devil's Red and Blue Silks of Calumet on the blanket of a horse going by. List is going by just below us with a blanket on that has his name on it. And one of the outriders, or one of the pony boys, boy, he's really suited up in silver on his pony there. 23-year-olds are being readied right now, going back to the paddock to get all ready to go for the most important 2 minutes of their careers, the 97th run for the Roses. Sports writers insist this is an inferior field, and perhaps that's true. It's certainly the reason so many horses are here to contest this mile and a quarter classic. The most consistent 3-year-olds are missing, actually, this year. Hoist the Flag looked like a super horse. He was never beaten, but working out at the Belmont track, he broke his leg, and they're still trying to save his life. His racing career is over. Early in the year, His Majesty looked like he might be something special, but an injury has him on the sidelines now, too. Then there's Executioner. His owner just didn't want to run him in the Derby and has said so all spring. And a colt named Good Behaving, who beat everything in the East, just won the Wood Memorial, but he just wasn't nominated for the Derby back on February 15th, and that is a prerequisite to running in this race. So we come to these 20, this full gate, all hoping that this might be the day that one of them certainly will etch his name among the immortals of the turf. I'll be taking a closer look at the 1971 Derby colts, but first, let's ease up for a minute and refresh with the freshest taste in beer, Fall City Beer.
Are you ready, ready for the good times? Fall City Beer.
Half the fun of good times is getting ready. Take fishing. Boats ready, tackles all together, the lake's ready too. How about you? Your good times. Call for the good times beer, Fall City Beer.
Are you ready, ready for the good times? Fall City Beer.
It's fun to get ready for a barbecue. Pickles, potato salad, a big batch of ribs for everybody. Be sure you're ready. Good times call for the good times beer, Fall City Beer. And the modern miracle of pasteurization makes sure you get all the goodness we brew in the city.
So get ready, ready for the good times.
Cards with the guys. Deal them a good hand. Lay in a big supply of the good times beer, Fall City Beer. Have a good time today. Have a Fall City Beer.
Who's your Derby horse? Well, it's time to make up your mind. And the fans, 100,000 packed into Churchill Downs for this annual classic, say that Unconscious is going to win the race. Unconscious right now is at 5-2. Unconscious has been to the post 5 times this year. He has 4 wins, the other time running second to Jim French. That was in the Santa Anita Derby. But he came back from that loss in the California Derby, and he won it in record time for that particular race. He won it by 3 lengths, rather convincingly. The leading money winner in the field is Jim French, and has he been busy? He has been to the post 9 times this year with 3 wins. He has raced 21 times in his brief career, and he has been off the board, as they say, or failed to get a part of the purse only 1 time in 21 trips to the post. He's the leading money winner. This year, he has picked up $167,000 plus, almost $168,000. Calumet is like second, though, at 7-2, and Calumet has 2 of them going. Bold and Able, who will break from the inside. He comes off a win in the four-runner purse here, or in the stepping stone purse here a week ago today. But Eastern Fleet, perhaps, is the better-liked half of the entry. He has 3 wins and 10 starts this year. He has earned over $119,000, and he comes into this race off a very disappointing effort a week ago today, right over the same racing strip in the 7-furlong stepping stone purse. However, he did win the Florida Derby, and he beat many of the contenders that are out there today. The third choice in the field, as we look out on the board right now, is the entry of Twist the X and Impetuosity. Twist the X won the Arkansas Derby. He came to Keeneland over at Lexington and ran second in the Bluegrass Stakes, losing to his stablemate, the other half of the entry, Impetuosity. So they run 1-2. And the Bluegrass in recent years has been perhaps the most important of all the races leading up to the Kentucky Derby. Last year's Derby winner, Dust Commander, was one of the lesser-known thoroughbreds as Keeneland opened its spring meet, but he won the Bluegrass Stakes. He still was a long-priced horse here on Derby Day, but he won by a convincing 5 lengths on that first Saturday in May. Jockeys, well, many of the big names are missing. Bill Shoemaker and Bill Hartack and Braulio Baeza are all gone. But we do have some winners in here, some riders who have won this classic race. We have Mike Manganiello, who will ride a field horse, Night Counter. He was aboard Dust Commander last year when he won. There's Don Brumfield. He won with Kawhi King. Jimmy Nichols is in this field today, and if you put much stock in this sort of thing, Jimmy is a former Derby winner, but he also has ridden 3 winners on today's card, so he seems to be in fine fettle coming up to this important classic. Well, that's the way we are. The horses are back in the paddock right now. The trainers and the jockeys will be meeting very shortly. Those instructions will be gone over for the final time, and then it's left up to rider and horse for the most important and most exciting 2 minutes in all of sports. And right now, we're just minutes away from post time.
It's here, racing fans, Derby Day. Derby Day is here in all its glory, all the excitement, all the color, all the thrills. From where I sit in the booth, I can see this great crowd that's here today. And everybody's having a good time, you can bet on that. Many of these fans are adding to their good times with Fall City beer. That's because City is the beer that belongs where the good times are. The folks at the Fall City Brewing Company make sure of that. They brew City to give you more of what you drink beer for. More fun, more flavor, more quality. Then, City is pasteurized to keep that flavor fresh, ready for you beer after beer. Yes, sir. Fall City is the one beer that gives you all the brewed-in good times you pay for. So whether you're out here at Churchill Downs or listening to the race away from the track, a cold, refreshing Fall City beer is the winning ticket. The brewers of Fall City beer are proud to bring you this coverage of the 97th running of the Kentucky Derby. So settle back and enjoy a city while you enjoy all the great action of the race.
Very shortly now, these horses will reappear to the strains of my old Kentucky home. They've been walked around from the stable side, the wrong way of the track, through a tunnel back into the paddock where they're being made ready right now. And to set the background and to bring you right up to date, here is Walt Adams.
Thank you, Kaywood. This has to be the most exciting Derby that I have witnessed in 4 years here at Churchill Downs. The crowd has been growing expectant ever since the 6th race this afternoon. They are poised. They have been ready for this run for the roses, I think mostly because it is such an unexpected event to have 20 horses going in the Derby and as little quality as there seems to be in the Derby this year. I would say it's a Derby without great form so far. The crowd now is moving towards both the front and the backside rails. They are close now. They're jammed in tightly. In the boxes below us, most people are standing. Anyone who hasn't got a ticket now probably won't get a ticket on this Derby because we are drawing that close. The lines have been long. The lines have been very good, though. Very happy people all around. The state troopers are along in front of the boxes near the finish line as we await the playing of my old Kentucky home, which signifies the actual start, the richest running for the roses in the history of the Derby, with 20 starters, $188,000 are in the purse, with $145,500 going to the winner. Over $1,480,000 had been bet on the Derby in the preliminary betting prior to the eighth race on the card today. The Derby is the ninth race, of course. Right now, the money continues to pour in. The people stand poised. The sun peeps from behind the clouds to fall across the finish line here at Churchill Downs, a few white puffy clouds in the sky. It is an absolutely magnificent setting for the most perfect Derby of all, one where the unexpected will be the expected, one where any horse in the entire 20-horse field could become a winner. And in this field, there are six horses that will run as a betting interest called the field. In the last two field horses to win were 1951, Count Turf, and 1925, Flying Ebony. Possibly one of the six, Saigon Warrior, Junior's Arrowhead, Barbizon Streak, Cannon Arrow Second, Night Counter, or Forula will be a winner today. We don't know. Saigon Warrior, another unusual feature of this most unusual Derby, will carry an extra pound today because Robert Parrott, the jockey, came in at 127 pounds with his tack rather than the 126 that all the rest will carry. This is the fourth largest Derby field in history. 1928 had 22, 21 in 23 and 29, and 20 now in 1925, 1932, 1951, and 1971. The University of Louisville band is poised and ready. They'll be playing My Old Kentucky Home just as the horses appear at the end of the runway, and right now we are still waiting for the appearance of the lead horse, everyone near that runway peering expectantly down it. The governor and Lynn Stone, resplendent in a bright blue jacket with darker blue pants, is awaiting the entrance of the 20 contestants for this run for the roses. They're atop the pagoda, and just to the north of the little green cupola on top of the white stand there in the pagoda area, there above the north tote board, and are watching right down the runway in anticipation. And as has been in the two prep races for this Kentucky Derby, the horses are late coming out onto the track. They have they've been late for the stepping stone and the trial, and now they are appearing to be coming out late. But we see someone making an appearance now at the end of the runway, and it looks like they're about ready to open that gate, so we will have the horses here in just a moment. Three maidens have won the Derby, although we have none in here. The I.B. Valdor was a possible entry. Buchanan, Sir Barton, and Broker's Tip. We do have Forula in here, who is a maiden. We do have one, so Forula could be a winner today. Buchanan, Sir Barton, and Broker's Tip, three maidens, have won this Derby, and we have a chance in Forula to see another. Most of the people I've talked to today feel that it will be whoever gets good position down the straightaway here, since the first time by the fans, will be the one to watch as they go to the backside. Perhaps five, six, seven, eight lengths off the pace, but running well and running on the rail. That's where they think that the best chance will be. Although the track is very fast and the times have been very, very good all day, a front runner could come out and take this Derby from wire to wire, but it's not anticipated as now. Although there is good speed in the race, it looks as if a horse that's positioned well on the rail as they go past the finish line the first time has the very best chance of winning the 97th run for the roses. The previous record Derby, as far as money goes, was $170,300 gross back in 1970. Dust Commander the winner, and Mike Manganiello is back this year. He was aboard Dust Commander last year and is on Night Counter this year. $188,000 the total purse this year. In the past 42 Derby, 17 winners were foaled in March and 14 in April, so any of these horses who have birth dates in those months will bear watching this year, too. Now, it's a fast track, and for the 63rd time in 97 years. There's the bugle. And it brings everyone to their feet. And Chick Anderson announces the 97th running of the Kentucky Derby. Everyone on their feet, and the U of L band poised and ready to begin My Old Kentucky Home as the lead pony is on the track, and Bold and Able is just behind the lead pony The instruments are in position. The horses are on the track for the 1971 Kentucky Derby. Crowd as the three-year-old colts are passing just in front of us and in front of the clubhouse fans now, everyone jammed near the rails, and the horse that Kaywood mentioned to you before, the outrider, who was so bedecked with the great silver bedecking on the horse, a brilliant black horse with the silver, is the outrider for Saigon Warrior with Robert Parrott aboard. Let's take a look at the odds board now and just take these entries in order and tell you how the betting public is betting on these horses. First of all, the entry of Bold and Able from the Calumet Farms, trained by Reggie Cornell, is at 7-2, was 5-2 in the morning line. The 2-2C entry, Royal Leverage and On the Money, trained by G.J. Getz, is now 40-1, listed at 30-1 by the track handicapper. Twist the Axe and Impetuosity, 3-3X, trained by George T. Poole, up on the board now at 5-1. They began the day at 7-2. Going Straight, the number 4 horse, is now at 45-1, and the odds have been lengthening all day from 30-1. Vegas Vic, at number 5 in the program, is 19-1 and started the day at 12-1. He's trained by Randy Seacrest. Number 6, Unconscious, coming in from California. John Canty is the trainer and started at 8-1, but now the number 6 horse is at 5-2, the betting favorite. Jim French started the day at 4-1, but now the 7 horse is at 9-2, and the odds flash even as we talk. The 8 horse, Bold Reason, started the day at 10-1, went to 23-1, and now is at 18-1. Longest on the board right now at 80-1 is the number 9 horse, Tribal Line. Dewey Smith is the trainer, and he is in at 80-1. At 50-1 is the 10 horse, Helio Rise, and started the day at 20-1. Now at 50-1, has been as much as 60-1 during the day. List, who is getting a lot of the long shot money today, ridden by Jimmy Nichols, trained by Alcee Richard, a great stretch runner. And as we heard earlier, James Nichols, regarded as a good stretch runner himself, on board a good stretch running horse. List started at 15-1, but now the 11 horse is at 8-1 and has been there most of the day. The field of Saigon Warrior, Junior's Arrowhead, Barbizon Streak, Cannon Arrow Second, Night Counter, and Four Rula all at 8-1 right now. The horses are now cantering along through the stretch and are going past the fans for the second time. We've already passed actual post time for this race. The horses were late coming out, and as I mentioned before, it is their habit to come out late. We see they are stretched out now all the way from the starting gate clear back to within a 1/16 of a mile of the finish line, and they are in a very slow canter up to the gate, which is placed at the head of the stretch, at the quarter pole up there. And they will run twice by the fans, as if you didn't know, after listening to all these derbies, lo, these many years. But for those of you who are new, who are trying to get a picture of Churchill Downs in your mind's eye right now, the horses will be loaded into two gates, a regular gate and the auxiliary gate. It stretches almost completely across this track, and track superintendent Thurman Fangborn has worked diligently for the past 4 days in order to get this track just as good as possible from side to side. With the horses running on the inside most of the time, there is very little work done on the outside of the track, the side nearest the fans, during the regular racing season. But for the past 3 days, Mr. Pangburn and his crew have worked very diligently in order to get an even surface all the way across to give the horses who must run on the outside as good a chance as possible to be in great position when they come to this finish line, which is a quarter of a mile away from the starting gate and a short 1/16 of a mile away from the most important first turn. The horses are now behind the starting gate. They'll move about an 1/8 of a mile out into the turn and farther, maybe even a quarter of a mile past the gate, and then they will come back and very slowly move up to the gate, and it will be a long loading time today since we have a full field here today with 20 horses set to run in this important derby. While we're speaking about the starting gate, there had been much talk, of course, about splitting the Derby, about running two Derbies in one day. President Lynn Stone, who himself is one of the youngest and only the 9th president in the history of Churchill Downs, said no, he would not break tradition. He would not run two Derbies in one day. Such would not be the case under his rule here at Churchill Downs. And so, plans were made to bring an auxiliary gate in if the field was much bigger than 20. As it is, they have to use an auxiliary gate from Churchill Downs here, and will load 20 into the gate. The first starting gate was used back in 1930, and that was the Gallant Fox Derby. There were 15 entrants in that one. Now they could handle 15 entrants with a very small auxiliary gate. They have a bigger one now to hold the 20. Before the use of the starting gate in 1930, flags, drums, web barriers, all had been used in order to start the horses so that they would be able to get away from what the gate area is, no matter where it was placed on the track. Right now, the gate is positioned, as we said, at the quarter pole, and they will be running the complete length of the stretch one time before they actually make the first turn. And they will go around one turn, then hit the backside, running down along the barn area, and already fans in the infield have pressed in some places. It looks as if they are 50 or 60 deep out along that back fence. They are pressed up against it. There are very few left in the middle of the infield, near the ends of the infield. This largest crowd is estimated at some as between 110 and 120,000, and I know right now in the press box they are making valiant efforts in order to get, for the very first time in history, an exact number of people through the gates here at Churchill Downs. Always the figure released before has been an estimate. Some have intimated a generous estimate, but an estimate nonetheless. And the fans press closer. They want a good look of the horses as they run down the back stretch, working out, warming up. They'll be coming by soon in a 2-minute mile and a quarter, and they will be running down that back stretch into a second turn, and then the long quarter-mile run to the finish line for the second time, time that counts. Still at 5-2 out on the board, the number 6 horse, unconscious. Arthur Seligson Jr.'s unconscious, a Prince Royal II colt by Brown, out of Brownberry by Mount Marcy. John Canty, the trainer, and Lafitte Pinkai will be the rider. And unconscious is now at 5-2. The horse is near the starting gate, so before the live call by Kaywood Ledford of the 97th Kentucky Derby, let's take time to take it easy with Falls City Beer. It gives you more of what you're looking for. Beer after beer after beer.
good times are here with the good times. Dear Falls City goes with all your good times, Falls City. That good time taste is here when you enjoy Falls City beer. Goes with all your good times, Falls City beer.
Heading for some good times? Take along the good times taste of Falls City beer. The good taste that comes on great, beer after beer after beer. Know why? Falls City is an all-grain beer, and only our all-grain brewing can deliver the great taste of Falls City. Then the modern miracle of pasteurization makes sure you get all the goodness we brew into our beer. So the very next time you have a beer, have a City. We've brewed good times into every drop.
That good time taste is here when you enjoy Falls City beer. Goes with all your good times, Falls City beer.
Taking a look very quickly at the odds, Bold and Able and Eastern Fleet remain at 7-2, Royal Leverage and On the Money at 40-1, at 5-1, Twist the Axe and Impetuosity, Going Straight is at 45-1, Vegas Vic 19-1, Unconscious 5-2, Jim French at 7-2, Bold Reason is at, and now I see that Jim French is at 9-2, Bold Reason is at 18-1. At 80-1 is Tribal Line. At 50-1 is Helio Rise. List is at 8-1, and the field is at 8-1. And we are ready for the running of the Kentucky Derby. It is a brilliant day. A bit of a wind now, whipping up some dust off the track, but the sun is shining brightly. Hardly a cloud in the sky. The horses milling behind the gate. The outriders moving back, letting the horses have room as they load them in, and that's a job loading them in. There are a full 20 going into the gate here today. Much of the comment, I am sure, still rippling through the crowd is about that silver-bedecked horse that went by with Saigon Warrior, and the comment has been made. It looked like he came straight from the Rose Bowl Parade to the Derby, and I can't think of a better way to get back to the Rose Bowl Parade than via the Derby, the greatest of all horse races. 20 of them, colts. They have the main gate loaded, it looks as if, and they are starting now to move to the outer gate, the auxiliary gate, and they will be moving the first horses into the auxiliary gate right there. And we have a problem. A jockey has been thrown in polka dot silks. We'll have to check
Saigon
on that.
Warrior.
At Saigon Warrior, polka dot silk, Saigon Warrior, white, black dots and a cap, Robert Parrott, who came in at 127 pounds, and he has been thrown and is in pain.
Well,
he's up now. He's up now, though, and he is back into the gate. He's back into the gate, and Robert Parrott will be on Saigon Warrior in this race today. But he was thrown from that horse as they loaded them in. He seems to be all right, and we're watching closely, but he seems to be all right. He has not shown anything. He was grimacing in pain and holding a hand and an arm, and an injured hand on a jockey would be very, very serious at this point. And so the unexpected continues to happen here at the 97th Kentucky Derby. They continue to load, and we see number 13, Junior's Arrowhead, being led in. Turquoise and white on the silks of this jockey, Anthony Rainey. Bold and Able already in, along with most of the other horses. And there goes, it looks as if List is in. And they're waiting on Forula. The Derby 97 colts are at the starting gate for today's call. Here's Kaywood Ledford.
Thank you, Walt. And only Impetuosity gets ready to come into gate 20. He comes up in there now, and we're watching for the break. It's post time. They're all in, and boy, that's a real bunch of horses. 20 of them up at the head of the stretch.
Here they come.
They get away, and it looks like a good break despite the big field. And here is Barbizon Streak and Junior's Arrowhead and Bold and Able that are running over on the inside for the lead, and Bold and Able is the leader. Now here is Night Counter coming outside of those three, but Bold and Able is going to show the way by the first time, and no pick that. Here is Junior's Arrowhead, and it is a Night Counter. Those four are coming under the wire right together, and Bold and Able is the leader. Junior's Arrowhead is second. We get Barbizon Streak third, Night Counter is fourth, Eastern Fleet is up there in fifth in good spot. And then we come in there to Forula. Here is Unconscious. Then we get Impetuosity. Here is On the Money. There is Jim French and Twist the X. Then we get Royal Leverage running in there with Helio Rise, and they are already on the backside. And we got a trailer bad there. That is Saigon Warrior, who unseated his rider. It is Bold and Able from Calumet that leads by a length. Here is Junior's Arrowhead second, and Eastern Fleet is going up into a closer third. We've got Barbizon Streak in there fourth. In fifth place is Night Counter. Here is Unconscious is after that. And there's just a half mile left in the race, and here's Bold and Able second, and his stablemate Eastern Fleet comes into second place. And it is Barbizon Streak that's right in there, very close third, as they are in the turn. We've got Going Straight that comes up into fourth, and Junior's Arrowhead backs off. And here comes Unconscious up to try to make a run for it in there now. Up on the head end, it's the two Calumet horses, and Unconscious is coming up after him. He's in the third. We've got a quarter of a mile left as they straighten away, and here they come through the stretch. It is Bold and Able and Eastern Fleet, and now here is Unconscious flying on the outside, and Twisty Axis coming with him. Over on the inside, we've got Jim French, and he's up into the hunt. In the leader right now is Cannonero, the horse from Venezuela. And here is Cannonero the second, and he's going to take it all. Cannonero, second, a field horse. He's out there, and he's pulling away now. We come to the wire, and Cannonero wins it by three. Jim French gets second. We got Bold Reason up for third, then Eastern Fleet, then Unconscious. Then we come into Vegas Vic after that, and that's the way they finished.
This is Kaywood Ledford. I know of wealthy sportsmen who have spent the better part of a lifetime and untold amounts of money in a vain attempt to see their racing colors in the Kentucky Derby winner's circle. It's the highest reward that can come to any horseman, but one that is denied to most. It came early for Fred W. Hooper. The first yearling he ever bought matured into a Kentucky Derby winner. The horse, Hoop Jr., the year 1945. That was a war year, and the Derby, normally raced the first Saturday in May, was pushed back to June 9th. Derby Day came up warm but rainy. The track was muddy. Calumet's Pot of Luck was a slight favorite, but Hoop Jr. had his backers too and was the close second choice. We'll recall that 1945 Derby in just a minute. Here's the way the 1945 Derby looked to Ted Husing as he described the event over CBS.
When they open up and they're off, and it's Sea Swallow that breaks in there along the rail the fastest. Out in the center of the track, we have Buy Me a Bond moving in there. They're all on the whip, and on the far outside is Hoop Jr. in the good going, and Hoop Jr. takes the lead far on the outside. Alexis is moving in there third with Buy Me a Bond and Sea Swallow. They've gone an eighth now, and along the rail it's Sea Swallow in there with Buy Me a Bond, and Hoop Jr. far on the outside has a two-length lead. Here they go by the quarter pole, and here's the way they go. Hoop Jr. by two lengths, then Buy Me a Bond, Alexis. Then on the outside, Tiger Rebel, Air Sailor. Along the rail, Sea Swallow. Then we come to Jeep. Along the rail, My Sweet. And that's the way they go into the first 16th. And as they do, it's Hoop Jr. on the front end. A length on top. Buy Me a Bond. Then two lapped over there are Alexis. Alexis moves up between horses to go into third with Sea Swallow. Then we come back two lengths further to Air Sailor, and then we come back further in there to another in the field. And as we start around the turn at the three-quarter pole, it's Hoop Jr. with a half a length lead along the rail in there with Buy Me a Bond. Alexis is running second, a length and a half further back. Then we come in there very nicely to Tiger Rebel, back to Air Sailor. Then we come back in there to Charlie Howard, Sea Swallow. Along the rail, we have Foreign Agent on the outside, Jeep, Burning Dream, My Sweet, and the rest of the field. Up at the front end, halfway down the back stretch. A length in front of Buy Me a Bond is Hoop Jr. riding very well under a snug hole. Two lengths further back, we come to Alexis. Alexis in there third. Fourth, we come in there to Tiger, another one in there. I can't see him for the moment. And on the far outside, we have Burning Dream and Jacoby moving there. And here, as they round into the back stretch, it's Hoop Jr. by a half a length on top. Buy Me a Bond. Air Sailor moves in there quickly into third, and there's three of them in there going together. Then we come back in there quickly to Fighting Step, which is moving in there fourth, and Alexis is fifth, and Jeep is coming up on the outside. Now they've reached the 3/8 pole, and it's still Hoop Jr. on the front end with Buy Me a Bond. Driving is Jeep coming on the outside, running in there fourth. Air Sailor is third. Alexis has been put away after the earlier run, and Hoop Jr. is now coming down 3/16 of a mile ago. In front all the way, Hoop Jr., and there's four horses coming in there trying to get second. And they are Buy Me a Bond. Here comes Pot of Luck running through the center of the track. We never gave him a call before. And they've only got a 16th of a mile to go, and it's Hoop Jr. all by himself. He's 5-6 lengths out in front, and this race has been won by Hoop Jr., and here he goes over the line. And by 7 lengths, Hoop Jr., Pot of Luck second, Dobby the F3rd, Air Sailor, Jeep, Buy Me a Bond, Sea Swallow. Then we come to Fighting Step, Burning Dream, Alexis, Tiger Rebel, My Sweet. Then we come to Burt G., then we come on the outside, Foreign Agent, and the last two in the field are Jacoby and Kenilworth Ladd.
Hoop Jr.'s win was the third Derby victory for Eddie Arcaro. For owner Fred Hooper, it was his first horse to start in a Kentucky Derby, and to this day, his only winner. Hoop Jr. raced only one time after the Derby, finishing second in the Preakness. He came out of that race with a bowed tendon and was retired. A Derby memory,